Natalie Koga presents Exercises of Suppleness. The following excerpt is an insight into a talk of the members of the workshop between post-Fordism and political action, Virtuosity in the 21st Century, staged for Saprofit on the 15th of October 2010 in Graz in the frame of Steirischer Herbst. The workshop was organized by Kai von Eickels with guest visits from Tino Segal and Jan-Holger Maus. Members are Aline Benecke, Tattoo Hämmerlein, Steffi Hensel, Natalie Koga, Aino Emilia Corvin-Surier, Timothy Murray, Julie Pfleiderer, Markus Z. and Jasna Smak. Before the audio version starts, the group discussed the idea of political action in art and of how art can become politically. An example which was debated on is LIGNA, a group consisting of media and performance artists, which create a repetitive act called radio ballet, which shifts between flash mob, political theater, actionism, and city entertainment. The radio ballet is entitled as Exercise in Lingering Not According to the Rules, Übung im nicht bestimmungsgemäßen Verweilen. Quote, a radio ballet is a radio play produced for the collective reception in certain public places. It gives the dispersed radio listeners the opportunity to subvert the regulations of the space. From lignablogspot.com 2009 12 Radio Ballet HTML 1st of December 2010. In the talk, further ideas and opinions are triggered and stated, for example, on how we could think of art and theater being political today. Terms like Geschmeidigkeitsübungen, exercise of suppleness, as part of Brecht's learning play, come into play to the point where the question is raised what a 21st century idea of change could be. What could it be instead of an artistic aspiration for changing the masses on the one hand, or a radical individual perspective on the other hand? Coming back to the initial debate of the group, do we have to leave the legal boundaries of art and the act of exhibiting completely to create and enter a place of exodus where the desire apparatus for pure consumerism is abundant? Thanks to Babaka Buster, Markus Boxler, Jan-Holger Maus, Kira Kirsch, Stefan Lugbauer, Florian Malzacher and Tino Segal. Graz, Vienna, 2010. Enjoy.
But that's an interesting view on what we perceive as public. Mm-hmm. I think that's quite interesting also that you have to go outdoors and then we do something in public, we go outdoors. This kind of idea is a bit maybe traditional, especially when I compare it to what we talked about the last week, I think was also a bit different for me, ideas of what is a political action other than I'm moving my body outside and I do something.
It's kind of so like 19th century idea of public before also digital media, and the street, taking the streets. But yeah, we're in the situation is also like complaining about the public space as the street becoming a spectacle. They did these things also, but they refused.
Well, maybe we could think about who are the political agents actually, or what kind of qualities do we ascribe to them or are needed to become a political agent, like political, someone who does act politically. And this notion of Hannah Arendt resurfaced now, that it takes courage. And when we think about it, most people are not courageous enough to. I wouldn't even exclude myself from those. Yeah, are courageous enough to act politically, even act publicly. So, probably this idea of what you talked about, Kai, that you can somehow experience or even practice this kind of courage is of value, even if it's in an art context. And then the next step would be, for me at least, emancipation. That's a tricky thing. And that because emancipated political subjects are hard to describe, hard to imagine, and you hardly ever meet someone who is one. Because it's actually not an emancipated subject if people are being told, they are instructed to do certain things in this radio ballet. That's where I agree with you, Steffi. You're being told, so it's not emancipated. Can we somehow nourish or foster that growth of emancipation through art?
Well, having a score instruction doesn't really exclude being emancipated. And emancipated doesn't necessarily equal like just anarchy, and everybody does what,
exactly.
Like in this sense of like everybody is like has the freedom to do whatever they do.
Yeah, actually, when I participated in the radio ballet, I had the feeling that whether the instructions were there or not, or whether I followed them or not, had nothing to do with my status. As cases, I didn't do what they told me to do. Like there, in most radio ballets, there is this figure, I call it dancing. We are just requested to dance, like as if in a club, and I usually don't feel like dancing on the street, so I usually don't do that, and it doesn't make a difference as to whether I'm emancipated or not. I mean, just the fact that somebody gives me an instruction really does not determine my freedom. That's my experience, at least in this radio ballet context.
But you're called for, I mean, it calls for an decision.
Institutions do a great deal because they limit my ability to decide what I want to do, or decide whether I want to do something or not want to do it. And usually there are no instructions. I mean, I'm not instructed to do this or that in the job that I have now. But there are a lot of things that I know I have to do them, because if I don't do them, then certain negative consequences will happen. And so I do them. And I think that's the way it works today. Maybe an explicit instruction is much easier to handle in terms of freedom than this kind of implicit control that's at work.
I would also be interested in this, because it's maybe it's a question that when you were describing this Ligner experience, then I was asking myself, but is it really so important, this moment of becoming aware of practicing a political action? It seems to be stressed a lot, this moment of becoming aware of it. And I'm wondering if, maybe also in the context of the text that we read, if that's really so important or so helpful for the matter of being politically active. Does that make sense?
Yeah, actually when participating, I had the impression that it was really not that much about consciousness.
Mm.
There is some, like I said, there is some information you get, but that's just information. I mean, mostly it's things that I knew anyway, but it's really sort of relaxed way of giving people information about public space, about what happens in the cities, and also like quoting some Benjamin and so on. But it's really not like performing the movements is more about something which one could probably call smoothness, maybe, or what's a good word? There is this expression by Bertolt Brecht who spoke of Geschmeidigkeitsübungen in dialectic. And I like to think of what I do in the radio ballets as a kind of Geschmeidigkeitsübung. What would that be in English? Geschmeidigkeit.
Exercises for something.
Elasticity or?
They would say it in German because it's
stretching. What do you mean? Stretching.
Exercise for smoothness.
Elasticity could be.
But that's interesting. Can you say maybe a bit more about this Blech thing? Geschmeidigkeitsübung?
Well,
why does he say that?
That was about, and that wasn't in the context of the learning play or Lehrstück.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, the idea was to write plays that are basically for the people who perform them as exercises, and not so much for the audience, but I said, okay, there can be an audience, and we can use the audience if there is an audience, not the other way around. The play, even when there's an audience, the play is not for the audience, so it's not something to watch, but the reactions of the audience could be useful for the players, but they're essentially about the performers exercising. But then it's not like improvisation, so it's not about the performers really deciding or reinventing the whole piece, but it's the performers going through something, going through a certain movement that the writer has outlined, so to say. And yeah, that's Geschmeidigkeitsübung in dialectic was one way Brecht described what it's actually about, like Die Maßnahme, for example, where you're presented with a sort of a problem that has to do with dialectics, a problem that is really, that has no simple solution, and that requires you to go through a very difficult argument. And the way Brecht wrote Die Maßnahme, all the performers will have to change roles. So every performer at a certain part plays the role of the young guy who's going to be executed in the end, and who in the end says, okay, execute me. I'm content with being executed because I realized it was necessary. I mean, that's the whole thing about it. So it's not about this kind of liberal freedom that as a performer you can reinvent the whole piece, but it's a traditional play in a way, and you have to enact it as a performer. You're supposed to, you have a score, so to say. But the function is quite different from traditional theater in that it is really about what the performers experience while performing, what they have to perform, or what they're requested to perform, and also about the kind of performative freedom, if one may call it that, they experience there, which is not the freedom another way. And the learning seems to be essentially about this Geschmeidigkeit, this elasticity.
Malleability.
Mm.
Suppleness, litheness.
I like suppleness.
Sorry, but how is it now connected to what we talked about before? What was the link?
Okay, I mean, Aligna also drawing on Brecht's learning play, so that's been a major source of inspiration for them. And I think what they do is indeed very similar to what Brecht tried to do. So they're giving instructions to the people. They're not telling them, oh, just be spontaneous, do something you feel like doing, but they're telling them that, like, you could do this now, and you could do that now, and you could move your hand in this way now, and make people do it. And then it's about what people experience while doing it, and maybe also about the kind of performative freedom they realize. It's also about maybe acquiring this suppleness in, like I said, being there. I think this is very much about being there in a place that is inimical and that doesn't want you to be there because it's privatized and because the collectives there are expected to move on, to participate in some kind of commercial transaction and then go away to consume, go away. And so those places, being there is really something that you will have to learn, which is really difficult, and the radio ballet helps you to do that and also makes you become more supple at being there, and also teaches you that being there is a collective thing in this case. So you're on your own, but not alone. You're part of a collective, but you're not a member of a group. And so it also teaches you something about how the collective situation that would be good for doing such things might be. And of course they do change something while they're happening. The situation is really different. You can do things that you otherwise couldn't do. But they don't produce something, they don't produce a situation that is different from the situation before and that remains. That was something else now about your idea of what a true political action would be, if I understood you, that the change will have to be permanent in a way, or lasting.
Yeah, I don't mean it should happen, it should switch and then it should stay, but at least that it doesn't put before and set up a new thing, but I see it quite often as just a burst, outburst or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And, well, like I said, my idea of political action that takes place in the presence of others, as Hannah Arendt says, is more like that of what you do is totally volatile, and even the kind of change you can produce is volatile. But because there are others present, it may make a difference for those others, others that are acting. So I think that's more how it could happen, which is of course no recipe for changing everything at once. Like if you want to change that affects the masses and changes the way that the masses are behaving, then that's certainly no way. But maybe this kind of like changing the masses is also a 19th century idea of change. Century idea.
I mean, maybe people are just expressing a discomfort generally with an interventionist model. Well, generally, I feel like I'm hearing that there's a bit of a discomfort with an interventionist model, where one literally goes into an idea that they have of the public realm and then performs something that is supposed to have political ramifications or has a political dimension.
Yeah.
And maybe that's not indeed what should be going on at all when we think of political performance. I mean, is this kind of interventionism, if that's what we want to call it, indeed? Or is there other alternatives? Or how would we even speak of other models?
You mean like ways of making art politically which are not interventionist? There are like so many different examples of that.
Maybe I'm a bit bothered with this making art political. It feels like also this. If you want to do Brecht, why don't you do Brecht in a theater? Theater is a public space too. And it for a couple of hundred years, it used to be used like this.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. It's like
just
I'm still
example,
okay
you know?
Going to the theater. Like really, and sitting there and watching things. To me, there's.
Yeah, but maybe it's. I'm wondering if it's a matter of taste, just personal taste. You know, maybe you can use the aesthetic category of taste not just towards art, but towards political action, if you know what I mean. You know?
I think that's disgusting, I'm sorry, but
I'm not sure if I'm expressing what I mean. How do you understand what I said? Maybe
it's a matter of taste, whether you like something to be political or not.
No, I just want to introduce a more heterogeneous idea of political action. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say. And practices you like and others, you know, it's like one is my cup of tea and the other is not.
Yeah.
That's maybe different to how it came across first. And I'm just, yeah, maybe this interventions is not so popular around here. Popular.
And I think it's certainly problematic to think of political action as an extra with art. Like, art would have to be even more than art in order to become also effective as political action.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, that's indeed, it's been kind of like predominant way that 20th century artists have thought about their art, apparently. I mean, art just isn't enough. Art will have to become more than art. And political action was one way to express this more. Same about risk, for example. Like, art is to save, so it's not risky enough. So I will have to make it more risky. And only then will it be valuable, because art that will be that is too safe as art is not enough. This idea of more is what I find very problematic, I think. And it might even be possible to just invert it and say, well, isn't political action maybe just about being, about art being a little less than art? Which is maybe the case with Liebknecht. But we do, of course, we don't have to invert it. I mean, it's, but I think it's important to try to think of it in a different way, and not in this permanent attempt at being more, that the dissatisfaction of art with itself has taken on. I mean, I'm totally okay with art being dissatisfied with itself, but that it necessarily will have to take on the form of this, we must do more than that. That becomes a problem at a certain point, I think.
I always say that, joke actually, that like being a cultural worker, in any way being an artist or working in culture, is activism actually. Like, maybe not on all levels, but I don't know. I think that's one way of looking at it, and I believe it. I mean, partly really in Croatia and Zagreb, it's like, I'm always amazed at seeing people who have been struggling with the same structures and the same ways of the institutions treating them, like, for 20 years, and nothing has changed, and it's going on. I'm like, wow, this really takes, like, it's a constant struggle. So I think it's in a way in the society, and I don't think it's necessarily valid for Croatia. I think it's like a widespread thing to, like, to be independent in that sort of way. I'm talking about the independence, you know. It's really hard and activist, you know. So, I don't know, maybe that's a way.
What do you mean by less art?
Well, for me, Liebknecht is an example of art being just a little less than art, and thereby maybe having a political effect. Maybe that's just my way of seeing it, but I think that the way they're using art and the status of art is quite different from the usual, like, aesthetic strive for art to become, like, more and more yeah, whatever. I mean, more and more aesthetic, or more than aesthetic, and political, become political because political would be more than aesthetic or something. It sort of inverts the whole logic. And they say, okay, let's just be content with a certain idea that people have of what art is, and let's use it as part of a strategy. And this is exactly where political action comes in, with Liebknecht, I think.
I'm thinking something very different when I think, like, of political art that uses art as, but I don't know, you know, if it's political action. It's a work done by a young artist living in Germany. She discovered that there are these companies producing, like, big exhibitions of artists, like that they do everything. Let's say this artist does like a huge retrospective for a big institution. This company produces the works from scratch, and the artist is like consulting the company. And but then in the end, this artist name stands all over the place, and she produced. She contacted this company, Mixed Media Berlin, and she produced an exhibition of a fictive artist with this company, and listed then all the names of all the people working for that company in the credits. And for me, this was like a political way of making art politically, but I don't know if it was like political action. So I'm just not so clear yet about these terms.
The last Istanbul Biennale was a similar example curated by a creation collective who insisted on all of having a transparent financial construction of the whole event. So they wanted to make all the numbers clear, and it's interesting they couldn't do it all the way because there were some like legal restrictions and stuff. But that was, I think, also a way of like disclosing the system.
Revealing the workings of the system.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not
This is political kind of way of making art politically, but I don't know if this is the political action you were aiming at. I don't know. Yeah. I wouldn't. It's very much about making art.
What does fiction play a role in this? I mean, these are all interventions, basically. You were mentioning. Does it have to be? Do we have to talk about interventions?
This was not intervention. It was produced in an art museum.
Like. Yeah, but it was still an intervention, I would say, in a system, in this company. Somehow.
The company worked as they
this
normally
medium.
Do. But this time it was a fictive artist. It was retrospective they produced, and they got all their names credited, which they normally don't, because it's always only the artist name there. So it's clearly not an intervention.
Use the space.
Yeah, in this case it was more like a collaboration, but as it always is with this company, that okay, the artist has some idea, but when it's really produced the work, of course it changes a lot. So it's always a collaboration with this time. It was a state like openly that this is the way it happened.
Yeah, look, I just don't like to worship categories. And as we have this discussion about art and the political, it just seems to be like we're really concerned about whether art is winning over the political, or whether the political is winning over art, or whether one is minimizing another, or whether one is maximizing another. And I don't really have a solution for that, but it seems like there's really something to say about the freedom that the categories give you to undertake something that either one feels needs to be done or should be done or wants to do, and thereafter effects happen as they happen.
Did you select this contactee?
No, it wasn't a tactic at all.
Actually. No method.
No method.
No, that was no method. Just action and reaction. No, I mean, I didn't want to be a seminar leader or something like that. I was just curious to know what you wanted from the workshop. And then just kind of let it flow, because it really, I mean, I'm serious about that. It had a good flow, I think.
yeah. It came to Holland.
You
never did. Yeah, it had.
Yeah, I want to go on now.
That was such a flowy reaction.